The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
This is the Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
Hour number two underway now, 9 minutes past 10 o'clock. Good Thursday to you. It's the second morning of the last month of the year of our Lord, 2021. And again, I will repeat, I come into this day with hope. Hope for life. Hope for the right thing being done. Righting the wrongs of a nearly 50-year-old horrendous Supreme Court decision. I have hope today after what I heard in the Supreme Court of the United States. It will take a while for a decision to come down. It'll take a while for arguments to be written. Or opinions to be written in the affirmation and in the dissenting. But I feel very good after what I heard yesterday. We'll talk more about that in a bit. But right now, let's welcome back to the program for the first time in 3 weeks, because we had a couple of Thursdays in a row of interruptions. We now welcome back Dr. Everett Piper. Dr. Piper is a past university president. He's a weekly columnist for the Washington Times. He is also a radio host in his native Oklahoma. He's got a radio podcast, The Rebellion, and he's an author. The national bestseller, Not a Daycare, and the follow-up, wildly popular, Grow Up, Life Isn't Safe, But It's Good. Welcome back, Dr. Piper. How are you?
I'm doing great. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It sounds like you've got a bit of a spring in your step.
I tell you what, I had 5 days off. I had the Thanksgiving Day and the Black Friday off. I took off Wednesday because I was out of town, so I had all 3 days plus the weekend, and I came back raring to go on Monday, and I still feel that way. So, yes, sir. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done between now and the end of this calendar year, which is why I want everybody else to try to match that energy. Okay, Dr. Piper, a lot of ground to cover here. First of all, I want to talk about something. I know you did a national radio show yesterday about cancel culture, and congratulations on that. That's terrific. I know your view on cancel culture. You and I have discussed it many times. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to put you to the test here.
Okay.
You tweeted, let's see, this is on the 26th, so this is probably about the same time I saw it, right after the article broke, or the news broke, about the Salvation Army, the Christian Salvation Army, which does so good for so many and has done so good for so long. I always encourage people to fill up the red kettles. And I did so until this time around, when I found out what the Salvation Army is preaching. And you tweeted, quote, "Not another dime. Nothing but racism under the banner of anti-racism. Virtue signaling under guise of virtue. Fomenting blame rather than preaching, you must be born again. No more. Stop supporting this nonsense. This is not salvation. It's sin." I didn't write it in as eloquent of terms as you did, but I basically, on my social media post on the Facebook side, just said the same thing. I think I chose nickel instead of dime, not another nickel, going into those kettles for their blatant racism, essentially telling white people to apologize for being white, apologize to black people for doing something to them that you never did. But you are guilty by the color of your skin and your birth. So here's the way I challenge you. I agree with you on cancel culture. I agree that it is insane to engage in cancel culture because people say things with which we do not agree. However, you and I are both agreeing to cancel the Salvation Army. Can we justify that? Can we reconcile those two things?
Well, I'm going to challenge you back then. I'm going to say that we disagree with the Salvation Army, and we have said so boldly and publicly. Neither you nor I have said that the Salvation Army should be canceled, should be verboten, should be silenced, and should be censored. We disagree with them. We think they're wrong. We want to engage in a good debate. We want to engage in an argument. We want to prove that we're right and they're wrong. And we're going to go to history and reason, tradition. We're going to go to revelation. We're going to go to personal experience to prove our point. That is the antithesis of cancel culture. Cancel culture would say, you need to be censored, you need to be silenced, you need to be kicked off campus, you need to be kicked out of the public square because we just don't like you. You make us feel bad. I think the Salvation Army is blatantly wrong, and I've said so, and I'm inviting them. Bring it on. I'd engage with them in a debate any day in the public square. I don't want to cancel them. I want to refute them.
Can I sit at your table in that debate? Because I,
well, yeah,
I want a piece of them, too.
You're going to be shoulder to shoulder with me debating them.
You better believe it. You better believe it. Yeah, and I felt the same. I was disgusted, especially when I read some. And I don't know about this, Dr. Piper, but they came back after the criticism. The mountain of criticism came from people like you and me and some others and in some bigger places, perhaps. They came back, and their defense was, hey, that wasn't supposed to go public. Their defense was, they didn't defend their words. They didn't defend their point of view or their challenging of white people to accept their blame for things that they haven't done to people of color. They didn't pull any of that back. They just said, hey, this was for what was for internal use only, meaning it wasn't supposed to get out. How's that for a defense that, ooh, you weren't supposed to find out about how we really feel and what we're teaching our employees?
Yeah, sorry y'all volunteers. Finally figured out. They're saying, sorry, y'all finally figured out who we are. I mean, this is false advertising is what it is, and it's also unfaithful to the history and the mission of the Salvation Army, which is a rich it's a rich history that Christians of all stripes should embrace and celebrate. I mean, William Booth and Catherine Booth founded the Salvation Army in 1850-1860 to do what? To bring salvation to the poor and to the disenfranchised within London and Great Britain. Salvation was first and foremost on their list, and they recognized that many of the people who didn't have money were not getting into the churches and weren't hearing the gospel. They always have put salvation first, not socialism, not social justice, but salvation. And shame on the current leadership of the Salvation Army for degrading the very concept of salvation to little more than a critical race theory screed. That's shameful.
It is all of that. Very well said, Dr. Piper. A lot of things have happened since you and I last spoke. Again, it's been three Thursdays now, or this is the third Thursday since the last time we spoke, and that means the Kyle Rittenhouse case came and went. Although it isn't really gone for Kyle Rittenhouse because he continues to be badgered and harassed and, yes, canceled for being acquitted of defending himself against people who were trying to kill him. The cancellation in this case comes from Air State University students who demanded that administration withdraw Kyle Rittenhouse from ASU. Mind you, he had never stepped foot on the campus. I think he was trying to take some online classes first as a student, but does want to go to school to become either a nurse or an attorney, something that sparked his interest after his legal case happened. But the students there demanded that they get rid of Kyle Rittenhouse, saying that he's a cold-blooded killer and he has no place on a college campus. This is cancellation of the highest order. This is a man who was acquitted, now a man. He's 18. He was 17 when all this went down. But here's a man who's acquitted, and it's not just a not guilty. It's a flat-out innocent verdict here because everything that we know we saw on video, and yet they're not going to let this kid live his life, Dr. Piper.
Well, I actually discussed this very scenario with somebody yesterday who's not quite as talented as you. His name is Glenn Beck, but he does have a substantial following. So I'm geared up for this one. I'm ready to roll. This is the poster child of cancel culture, the coddling culture, the snowflake rebellion that I warned of back in 2015. And I said, if we're teaching these kids this nonsense at Berkeley and Brown, they're going to graduate and they're going to bring that nonsense into our boardrooms, into our courtrooms, and into our culture at large. And here we are, and we're still feeding this monster. The four organizations, this is critical in terms of this story. There are four student organizations that are demanding that Kyle Rittenhouse be expelled. And you're right. He's an online student. How can he be threatening your security and your sense of safety? How can he be violating your safe space if he's online? So essentially, their entire complaint is a lie. Even the use of the word withdraw is a lie. When you withdraw from college, you choose to do it. When you're expelled from college, it's the administration, the president, the dean that does it. So they're even lying in the terms of the language that they're using. But the four groups are these that are making these demands. The Students for Socialism, the Students for Justice in Palestine, the Multicultural Solidarity Coalition, and Mecha de ASU. All four of those organizations are what? Marxist organizations. The Students for Socialism.
I know the first three. I'm sorry, Dr. Piper. I know the first three. What was that fourth one?
MECHA, which is an acronym. It's MECHA de ASU. What is MECHA? I'm going to try to pronounce it in Spanish here, and I'm going to butcher it. It's Movimiento Estudiantil Chicano de Aslan. What does that mean in English? It's the Chicano student movement of Aslan. A-Z-T-L-A-N. What is that? It's the movement to reconquer, this is their language, reconquer the southwest states of America, which would include California, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Nevada, part of Colorado, and all of Texas. They believe in reconquest, reconquering those territories because they are not legitimately American.
Right.
So what are they by definition? Anti-American. The other three that I've already summarized are anti-capitalism, anti-private property, anti-Christian, anti-constitution, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, and they're anti-culture, anti-cultural in terms of any culture but their own. These are the organizations that are demanding that a young man who's been acquitted by a jury of his peers and has been found innocent in a court of law by Lady Justice, who's supposed to be blind. She's not supposed to see color or socioeconomic status. These are the students who are saying that the justice system was rigged, and they don't even believe in our own Constitution. They don't even believe in America to the extent that all of the states in America should be retained within America. They believe that they should be separated and they should be reconquered. This is crazy land to the extreme.
Well, and the toughest part about all of this, you just read a litany of anti. Yet if you, Everett Piper, are anti those organizations, then you are a bigot. That's the reality in which we live. All of those anti-American, anti things, and if you oppose any of them, if you are anti them, you are the racist bigot. They've got us cornered. All right, it's 10:21. We'll take our time out here, Dr. Piper. We'll come back. You have written again about the lion Aslan, and you, of course, have made a wonderful analogy. I want to talk about that next on AM 1420, The Answer. All right, 10:24 now. We continue AM 1420, The Answer. Dr. Everett Piper back with us. I mentioned at the beginning, Dr. Piper is a weekly columnist for the Washington Times, and he always has some phenomenal stories to tell. This time, Dr. Piper, you have found a way to merge and compare and contrast, well, more compare and analogize the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Aslan, the Regal Lion, and Christmas. Aslan is on the move. As after suffering through what we have suffered through in the same way as a witch's spell, a winter with no Christmas, constant winter with no Christmas, Maybe, just maybe, Aslan will be on the move, and maybe we can break through. Maybe Father Christmas can find a way to break through the sadness and the desperation and the despair that we have suffered through with winter with no Christmas. Tell us more.
Okay, for those that need a 10-second reintroduction to C.S. Lewis, he's the author of The Chronicles of Narnia, which is a children's series of 7 books. One of the most popular of those 7 is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's the book in which the children enter into this magical land of Narnia. They do so through the wardrobe. Well, as they enter Narnia, they see a snow-laden forest that's very still and quiet, and there's almost no life. But the few creatures they do encounter seem to be afraid and very paranoid. Well, the kids stumble across 2 talking animals, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, and Mr. Beaver starts telling the children that the rumor is that Aslan is on the move. Who's Aslan, the children ask? Well, he's the lion, the son of the emperor beyond the sea. The great Aslan is on the move. And if he's returning to Narnia, says Mr. Beaver, the prophets tell us that winter will begin to melt away and spring will bloom. The white witch's spell will be broken. Well, all of a sudden, the children hear sleigh bells in the distance, and they think that it's the witch returning, but it's not. The sleigh is being driven by a robust man, all dressed in red, with a white beard flowing down over his robe. It's Father Christmas, C.S. Lewis tells us, and Father Christmas is bellowing out in a loud voice, "She has kept me out for a long time, but I've broken through at last. It's Christmas. I bring you good tidings of great joy, and winter is going to melt away. Father Christmas is here." So here's the metaphor. Here's the analogy. In all this crap that we're having to deal with, all of this stuff that we have to deal with, you know, BLM and CRT and Antifa and CNN News and COVID this and COVID that, it seems like it's always winter and never Christmas, to quote Mr. Beaver, to quote C.S. Lewis. I mean, all of the negative stuff, Kenosha and Waukesha, the Supreme Court, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, always winter, but never Christmas. But we need to remember this, Bob, that Aslan is always on the move. Aslan is the Christ figure. And we were promised 2,000 years ago, just as Father Christmas promised the children, that I've broken through at last. She's kept me out for a long time. But her magic, the witch's magic, is weakening. And it's a time for us to recognize what we were told in Christmas, that Christ is on the move. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And he's the light of men, and his light shines in the darkness, and he's made his dwelling among us, Emmanuel, God with us. In fact, as you know, I close out this essay by quoting Hilaire Belloc, who says this: "Do not, I beseech you, be troubled about the increase of forces that are already in dissolution. You've mistaken the hour of the night because it's already morning. Aslan is on the move. We know who wins because we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's the Advent season because Christ is on the move and he is coming."
One quick challenge / give us more inspiration. In the story that you tell, the children hear sleigh bells ringing in the distance. At first, they're afraid. They think it's the witch's return. They hide, but it's not the witch. It's Father Christmas. It is the sign of things to come, the sign that he is coming and that goodness is going to break the spell. Can you hear the sleigh bells right now, Dr. Piper? And if you can, what are they? I'm listening every day to try to find them, to let me know that he is coming. And I have a hard time because of everything that you listed. Can you hear the bells?
Well, if I just look at the activity of man, it's difficult. But yes, I can hear the sleigh bells on a daily basis because I trust the word more than I trust the individual. In other words, I trust God's revelation as it's found in Scripture more than I trust anybody else. And I know what we're told in Scripture. We are promised that the church prevails in the end. We're promised that the gates of hell cannot prevail against Christ's body, the church. We have been given this promise by Aslan himself, by Christ himself. So if that isn't a sleigh bell that's ringing loudly and clearly throughout all of human history, I don't know what is. I trust the Word, and the Word is the Alpha and Omega. The Word is Emmanuel, God with us. The Word is Christ.
The Word is heard through our faith. Then the bells you hear are through your faith in everything that you just said. Sometimes you can't hear them for the the silence brought on by the evil of man. But if you have faith, that's when you hear the bells and you know that he is coming and that all and that good will prevail. And I think that's a phenomenal message for this time of year. Dr. Everett Piper, it's so good to have you back. Look forward to doing it again next week.
All right. Blessings. Take care.
Thank you so much. Dr. Everett Piper on AM 1420, The Answer. Last half hour is open. That means it's yours. 216-901-0945 or 888-281-1110. Right back.
Progressive Democrats, please be aware, you have now entered the place where political correctness goes to die. This is the Bob France Authority on AM 1420, The Answer.
Yes, indeed. Now, 10:38. Thanks for being with us on AM 1420, The Answer. It's been a very busy show so far, and we haven't even discussed in much depth the lead story of the day that I started with, which, of course, is the Supreme Court hearings on the future, potentially, it's not necessarily written that way, but the future, potentially, of Roe versus Wade and the right for children to be born rather than executed in their mother's wombs. And whether or not Roe versus Wade, the egregiously wrong decision from 1973, from 1973, will finally be overturned. Some of the questions and some of the answers and some of the oral arguments presented yesterday in the Supreme Court hearings of Dobbs, of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, the case which challenges Mississippi's ban on abortions after 15 weeks. Some of the things that I heard have just make me feel very, very confident and very, very positive. This is the court to do it. Now, I will say that I am equal parts optimistic and fearful. Optimistic because of what I heard. Fearful that perhaps despite what I heard, if we lose this case and the right to abortion after 15 weeks in Mississippi is upheld, that there's virtually no chance that we will have another case like it that is more likely to be successful with this conservative supermajority, as they like to call it, makeup of the court, anytime in the near future, that this may be our last bite at the apple. Those of us who are pro-life, those who believe that children deserve an opportunity, and that if mothers don't want to keep their babies, there is an alternative to killing their babies, and that is giving away their babies to somebody else who would be more than happy to give that child life and opportunity. So this might be the last bite at the apple. So I'm fearful. It's kind of like, let's pretend for a second that the Browns were ever capable of getting to a Super Bowl, just for the sake of a comparison here. You're excited because of the prospect of finally breaking that 1964 and on curse. That's the last time they won an NFL championship, and they've never won the Super Bowl. And the opportunity to win the Super Bowl is there. It's just one victory away from being world champions and being Super Bowl champions. But you go into that game with the trepidation of fear of heartbreak. The fear that if we don't take advantage of the opportunity before us now, we may never get back again. If you're a football fan and you're particularly a diehard Browns fan, you understand what I'm saying. There are still people who have deep psychological scarring from the fumble and from the drive, and that's just to get to the Super Bowl, to be so close, to be on the cusp of something so fantastic, and then to have it just ripped away. It's that much more painful. And those were in the mid to late 1980s. So don't think I'm being flippant here and comparing lives to football games. I'm just trying to make an analogy that this is kind of our Super Bowl. This Supreme Court case is kind of the Super Bowl of the abortion debate. were on the cusp of victory. Now, by the way, let's be clear about that, too. Victory in this case doesn't mean that abortion is completely outlawed in the United States. It's not. Victory in this case at the Supreme Court, this Super Bowl, would simply mean that there is no federal right to abortion that is in force, that is in effect. That it would return the decision as to whether abortions are lawful or not to the state legislators and thus to the people, to the voters in every state. Do you want your state to be an abortion state or a non-abortion state? It's up to the people to elect the legislators to represent their views, which is the way it should be. So this is our Super Bowl, to go back to my analogy, and we're on the cusp of winning it. And while you're excited about that prospect, you also realize the pain that you're going to feel if you don't win this Super Bowl. You may never get back again. If we don't win Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, we may never have an opportunity at this game again. So I welcome your thoughts. Let's go to Westlake. Joe, you're on AM 1420, The Answer. Welcome, Joe. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Bob. I'll keep my my comment really brief. Hey, listen, I just wanted to thank you for pressing that state senator about House Bill 218. I'm kind of in that boat, too, as far as by the time they pass this thing, it's going to be too late for me because I'm pretty much done on the 15th of this month. And I did the religious exemption thing, and they denied it. And anybody that did get the religious exemption, they had kind of like a loophole. And basically what it was is that there's something in the Civil Rights Act of 64 that basically says that the company has to make a reasonable accommodation. Well, apparently they basically told these people that were accepted for religious exemption that they were going to be gotten unpaid leave, till I believe it was March. And then by then, it was going to be they were going to be too much of a burden to the company. So we tried just about everything. And like I said,
let me jump in here, Joe. Hey, Joe, let me jump in because I'm curious. You were denied the exemption, but you said some people were given that exemption. What was different about their claim than yours?
You know what? I don't know, other than maybe they worded it a little bit differently, because we weren't given like a form to fill out. I basically just sent an email, and I may have not put in my firmly held religious beliefs clause that was in there. And I did go to one of those meetings that you guys had with the Christian Alliance, I believe it was.
Yeah, the Ohio Christian Alliance. Yeah.
I believe it was, his name was Christopher something. Nice guy.
Chris Long is the president of the Ohio Christian Alliance.
That's who I chatted with him.
Uh-huh.
And went around and around, gave my my opinion about everything, and he was going to try to help me, and everything just seems to be fruitless at this point. The big companies are just, they've got lawyers as well, and it's just not looking good for us right now.
Well, I feel terrible for you in that regard, and you're right. That's the reason I'm kind of pressing, and it was that he's not a senator, by the way. He's on the House side, Representative Katrina,
and his side already
passed it. But he testified before the committee that first heard this on Tuesday. He testified before the Senate committee in advance of this as they begin their negotiations on this. So,
they should have gotten this stuff done a while ago, because it's really going to affect a lot of us.
Yeah, it really is. Now, the only, like I asked him, he said passing laws that retroactively.
Yeah, I heard his comment, too, and it didn't sound too promising.
No, it doesn't. But I got to tell you, I feel like there's going to be something there. There's probably going to be, and I'm not a lawyer, but this is what I would push for, is some sort of a class action lawsuit on behalf of every Ohioan who is fired from their job because they refuse to take a jab once the law is passed saying that they cannot force you to take a jab. You ought to be reinstated, and there ought to be a class action suit. Otherwise, you'd have, thousands of people going to thousands of attorneys and filing thousands of separate suits to get their jobs back.
Sure, Bobby. I'm looking into that right now with some of my colleagues.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to let everybody out there know that these companies got lawyers too, so I just wanted to express that. But I did want to thank you for at least pressing the state congressman, that is, about the going back and after
Well, no, and I appreciate that, and that's kind of why I did it. And thank you for the phone call, my friend. I didn't really need to press him. I think Representative Catrona knows that time is of the essence here. And it is a matter of urgency. In fact, he talked about the number of days they have left in their sessions, that certainly Speaker Kupp and President Huffman of the Senate can call, you know, special sessions and come back to do something. But, you know, look, it's December 2nd. We're getting close to the shutdown or to the end of the sessions. And January 4th, right around the corner, is when the, you know, the federal OSHA mandate kicks in. Even though right now they're on a stay because of the federal courts, there are still people who are watching their employers who are terrified of being caught with their pants down, so to speak, if that OSHA mandate is upheld. In other words, OSHA's mandate says that by January 4th, all employers who have more than 100 employees must have their workforces vaccinated. In their terminology, in my terminology, given the profit shot. And even though there's a stay right now, let's say they lose that and the stay is lifted. Now the order is in effect, and now it's December 29th, and you got a bunch of employers whose staffs are not vaccinated. And once January 4th comes around, suddenly here come the fines from the federal government. Well, hey, you got, you know, 300 employees and, you know, only 148 of them are vaccinated. So you owe us fines for each one of those individuals that you have employed who didn't get vaccinated. And because of that fear, corporations, businesses are going to start telling people, get your shot by before December 15th or before December whatever, or you're fired. And I mentioned to Representative Catrona, three of them, just big names, you know, University Hospitals, Cleveland Clinic, and the Cleveland Indians / Guardians have all done this. And we know there's Smucker's Corporation. I mean, there's so many Ohio corporations that are already doing this to their people. Again, I think out of fear that the federal mandate is going to be upheld and they're going to be caught with their pants down paying a ton of fines if they don't get it done in advance. So how do you retroactively go back and tell somebody who's been fired, hey, now that it's illegal to fire you for not having the jab, here's your job back? Well, I think the answer is going to be, as I said, in a massive class action lawsuit on behalf of every Ohio employee who did not take the jab, who got fired as a result. Let's see. We'll go next to Charlie in Westlake. Charlie, you're on AM 1420 The Answer. Go ahead.
Hey, Bob. I wanted to thank you for taking the call. Good show. I wanted to talk about yesterday. I was watching the Supreme Court. It wasn't that hopeful until I heard their words. Each and every one said, let's go back to states' rights. I'm so excited. I think December 1st is going to go down as the National Day of Life. But the big thing is how the Democrats are going to react next year. Is it going to be their rallying cry? Is it, you know, how is it going to affect us politically? Because it should be a major game changer.
Well, I think you're right. There will be an impact there. Will it be enough to stop a red wave that is on its way, Charlie? In my opinion, no, as long as free and fair elections are held. Now, you've probably been listening, and thank you for the call. You and everybody else who's been listening, we've talked about this in some depth, that perhaps the right, the more accurate, the more, you know, the right name for the Omicron variant should be the mail-in balloting variant, that they're using this, they're going to terrify people and say, we can't put people at risk of getting in lines to vote again, so we're going to do universal mail-in balloting all across the country for all of these all-important House and Senate races, just like they did in November of 2020, and how the election was rigged, in my opinion, against President Trump. So will this be the rallying cry if the pro-lifers win this Supreme Court case next year? Yeah, probably. But they have to understand that even if they elect a majority of the Congress to continue to be blue baby killers, that, you know, it doesn't change the fact that the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court for life. The Supreme Court is the Supreme Court until they choose to step down. And the beauty of it is, you know, the youth that has just been injected into the court with Amy Coney Barrett, And Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. Yes, Justice Alito is getting up there a little bit. Yes, Clarence Thomas is the senior member of the court. But between Roberts, who is always a coin flip, and Kavanaugh and Gorsuch Barrett and Alito, I still think it's going to be a strong conservative court for a long time to come. And I think that realization will set in for Democrat voters. And they may say, we can vote in as many of the blue baby killers as we want. The truth of the matter is they can't put people on the court. Only the president can put people on the court. And the next, from an age standpoint, most likely Supreme Court justice to leave would probably be Breyer. And it would be up then for them to find somebody in 2024 to run for president and win in order to replace Breyer with another liberal. And I don't know if they've got the bench to do that. Who are they going to run? They can't run Kamala. They certainly can't run 82-year-old Dementia Joe. Who are they going to run? Little Boy Pete? Little Boy Petey? Is he going to run? The transportation secretary who was off while the transportation in this country ground to a halt? Taking pictures of... Never mind. Who are they going to run? Michelle Obama? I've actually heard that. Because in a party filled with identity politics, I guess running a black woman is probably as safe as anything, because anybody who criticizes her on policy is a racist and a sexist. Heck, it worked for Kamala Harris to even get the VP slot. It would have worked for Hillary Clinton. The female side, the sexist side, had Donald Trump not ridden in on a white horse and saved the day. But who are they going to run? I don't care how angry they are about any Supreme Court abortion, anti-Roe verdict, anti-Roe decision that comes in. They can be as excited as they want. They can't elect a president if they don't have a candidate who would then be able to change the Supreme Court. All right, 10:53, right back.
WHK.
So, 10:57, thanks for being with us. I was just having a text conversation with an old college friend who said, Bob, I heard you say on the radio that you had an antibodies test done a few months after you had your COVID-19 bout, and that you actually had a number attached to your antibodies. Where can I get that done? And I told her where I got mine done and how I got mine done. It's very easy to do. And it kind of inspired me. I'm going to do it again myself. I have an appointment today, this afternoon, kid you not, to have my antibodies checked again. Now that I'm more than 1 year removed from my COVID bout, I had COVID in the third week of November last year, 2020. And I was tested about 6-7 months after to see what my antibodies looked like, to see if I had the active antibodies to combat, coronavirus. And the way the test works is a reading of 0.07 or less means you do not have active antibodies. You are not protected. You are not inoculated. If you're 0.08 or higher, you are. And 0.08 or higher, it's not a very high bar to clear. And my wife's friend took it first and had like 141. She's super protected. My wife took it and she was like 700 and something instead of 0.08. And she's super protected. I went and had the antibodies test done. I had 1,442. That was my score on the antibody scale. And I felt like I should just be tapping a vein and giving out free plasma to everybody to protect everybody, for crying out loud. But that was 6 or 7 months after. Now that I'm 1 year removed from my COVID fight last November, now that it's December 2021, I'm taking the test again today. I'll have the results in a couple of days, and I will tell you on live radio what they are. And I will prove that natural immunity is far, far more robust and will not wane the way the quote-unquote immunity from the shots wanes. So that's something that I promise I'll follow up with as soon as I get the results. Enjoy. Hey, thanks to everybody for a great show today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Let's go, Brandon.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn.
deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.